This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am a vacationing Beam.
Yes, we are recording this early. Beam is, by the time you hear this, he will be somewhere on a lake in Michigan.
Face not, down in the lake.
Not Lake Michigan.
Well, I might be there too.
Oh, you might go to Lake Michigan?
Yeah, we're like 5 minutes away from there.
Oh, but you're going to a different lake than Lake Michigan.
Yeah, but the Lake Michigan's 5 minutes away. We call that the big water. It is.
It is
a great
big water.
Lake.
It is large, but you're going to a smaller lake.
Yeah.
We're going to be in a cottage and you're going to be watching bald eagles catch fish in the morning.
Yep.
Then you're going to be passed out.
I'll be sending out
drunk.
Pictures of me fishing and you quote tweeting it and saying, "My God, look at your baby face."
Uh-huh. That's right. I did. Yes, that's right. I think I did that last year. Did
it again. Oh.
Oh.
Hello.
Alert. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
just
hey,
keep that in there.
Keep it in. Sure.
We're recording this in a different studio.
I don't know why. I'm going to toggle that. I'm going to mute the output of that.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
Good.
Now we don't have that anymore. Good times. So this is our Euro 2024 preview. Obviously, the Euros are starting up. And we figured, well, Beam won't be here to preview them, so let's preview them now. Which means there might be a couple of names or things that we say that, I mean, most of these squads are fairly set. I don't think we're going to be discussing the like last player on or off of teams for like, you know,
the 25th player on Albania.
Yeah,
we're probably not going to get into that.
But we're going to try to do a light preview here to at least give you some idea of what to look for. If you know nothing about the Euros or if you're just trying to watch it for the first time, this will probably be where that speed is. If you're someone who's like very in depth on the top 10 or 12 teams in Europe, this may not be the podcast for you.
If you listen to our World Cup preview a couple of years ago, this will be nothing like that.
Yes. Yeah. When we did that, that was a lot of work.
God,
we
exhausted.
Put in much less work on this, but it's the Euros. I'm excited about that. Also excited about the Copa America, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that too, but we are previewing the Euros here. We will certainly talk about the other international tournaments as they go on. But let's start. Where do you just want to start in the groups just to get everybody familiar with where we are with these groups?
Yeah, so let's just start with the whole thing. Euro 2024 coming off the heels of Euro 2022.
What?
2021.
Because it was supposed to be 2020.
Yeah.
And to move it forward.
That's right. Then they moved it all around. Then COVID happened. It was at Wembley. The last time that we saw a Euro game take place, it was a penalty shootout, and it was Bukayo Saka and Marcus Rashford missing penalties for England against Italy. Italy winning the cup. It's not coming home. That's where we last
left off
this tournament.
And well, then we left off with Italy then missing the World Cup.
Yep.
As they are wont to do, apparently. Even when they're the champions of Europe, they couldn't make the World Cup, which is shocking.
So this tournament happening now in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is going on the semifinals. So it's going to run June 14th to July 14th. Semifinals will be played in Munich and then in Dortmund. And then the finals will be played where the World Cup finals were happening. Was that the 2006 World Cup?
Sounds right.
I think in Berlin. So like the Olympiastadion. So it runs the final will be Sunday the 14th. Like that will be
okay
when the when the Euro finals happen. So it is literally just a month long tournament. Yeah.
So the Euros are starting up this week that you hear the podcast, and my microphone is running away from me for some reason. So I'll move over.
Tell you, man, ghosts in different studios.
We're recording in a different, we're all off today. We're in a different studio than we usually are. Everything's weird. But in either case, let's start off with Group A, where the host country, Germany, mm-hmm. who, of course, is loaded as they should be.
Awful appearance for them in the last couple of, like, major tournaments.
Yes.
You look, remember when we go back to the World Cup last time, who was it? Spain, Japan, Germany. Like, there was, I forget who was the fourth team in that group, but, like, at one point in time during the last match day of the World Cup, all four of those teams were like through to the knockout rounds, and Germany ultimately coming in third place. They didn't get through to the knockouts. That was a massive disaster for them.
Yeah.
They're kind of trying to find their footing a little bit, because I know it was embarrassing at the Euros for them a few years ago too. So ever since kind of that performance in Brazil that we saw now, which is many, many years ago, like they have been very underwhelming. But this is, It's a totally new crop for them. As we know, Toni Kroos lifting the Champions League trophy just a couple of weeks ago. This will be his last run-in with the German national team. After this tournament, he's done.
This is this is his last run of soccer. On a international professional stage, this is it. So obviously it worked out pretty well for him, you know, with Real Madrid getting a hoist a trophy there. Mm-hmm. Will the same thing happen in his home country?
Yeah.
With his obviously representing his nation. That would be like quite, you couldn't write a better storybook finish. You win with your team, your professional team, and then with your international.
I can write a better story, and it would just be for Marco Reus for the same thing.
Well, sure enough, except he didn't do that. He lost in that tournament. Germany, as you know, I mean, there's tons of players to discuss, but another Real Madrid stalwart is, you know, Toni Rüdiger, who's going to be a big part of what they're doing, center back for them.
Jamal Musiala, watch him. If you haven't had the opportunity to be able to watch him, if you watch Bayern Munich at all, you know about him.
Yeah.
Just, he is what everybody dreams of Gio Reyna being. He is like that on steroids.
I agree. Yeah, that's a very good analogy. I like that.
Like
very
he just runs through the midfield like crazy.
Yeah. And then you have Florian Wirtz, who's going to be, you know, Bayer Leverkusen's man. They obviously had a tremendous season. What did he have? Like, I think it was like close to 20 goals, 20 assists.
That's a lot.
Something ridiculous. 18 goals, 20 assists he had. So that's Germany. We know they're tough. They know they're going to be studs.
Probably Thomas Müller's last go around with a big tournament.
I would presume.
I would think.
Yeah. I mean, it's this whole group from Germany that we've known pretty much since
forever.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically been the better part of 20 years. This group is now, they're aging out.
Yeah.
This will be their last major tournament. So in that group alongside Germany, who we clearly view as the favorite here, Switzerland, Hungary, Scotland. I don't think it's going to really matter from those other three teams. Germany's clearly, if they don't come out of this group number one, mm-hmm. that would be a shocking disappointment.
Totally.
I do believe Switzerland's probably the other team that advances, at least automatically.
I don't know, man. Scotland likes to play Scotty Mack, Scott McTominay at striker. Like, they do some weird things over there in Scotland.
You cannot get more Scottish than Scotty McTominay for Scotland scoring goals. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that Scotland is bad necessarily, but I feel like Switzerland has the pedigree of doing this a lot more on this stage. I do think they're going to be a tough out.
I don't think this is as clear-cut of his group as, like, some of the other ones are, though.
Yeah,
like,
that's fair. That's fair. So before we go much further, let's talk qualification, or not qualification, but how you move on. Mm-hmm. The top two teams in every group automatically in.
Correct.
And then there are how many other teams?
Four. So the way that this works, there are only six groups.
Yes.
So two multiplied by six, that's 12.
You need to get to the round of 16. To get to the knockout round.
You got to find four more. So what is going to happen here is that the next four highest points totals of the next groups of like non-qualifiers outside of the 12 teams get in. If they're the same on points, it then goes to goal differential. If they're the same on goal differential, then it goes to actual like goals scored.
Yeah.
After that, I don't know exactly what happens.
We're just going to have a random penalty shootout in the middle of like a German like youth academy. They'll just bring these guys out and just do it at like noon one day and be like, all right, you're through, you're not.
But the fascinating part about this, like let's say, you know, name your two teams are both third. And then you get a group of like third and fourth place, but they have higher points totals than like teams who are in third. That doesn't matter. It is only going to go to the third place team. So like, even if you finish with a higher point total and you're in fourth, then a higher point total of somebody in fourth or third in another group, that doesn't matter. It's only third place teams.
Yeah. So your group clearly getting into a tougher group is you're already behind the eight ball in this, because a team in an easier group theoretically might be able to amass a few more points than you. But again, we're talking about the third and fourth teams anyway. Yeah. So how many points can they really amass if you've already got an easy quote unquote group?
It will be interesting in these last games, though, when we get down to like goal differential and then points totals in the table. Like those will be games to watch, because you could see opening games, teams going for it. So it will already not create the drama of necessarily already like the seeding of like who you're going to get in the knockout rounds. But teams on the lower end of the spectrum trying to get into the knockout rounds, I think is going to create some pretty compelling play.
Yeah. Group B, Spain, Italy, Croatia, Albania. Man, now that one,
that's a
tough one right there.
That's a hard one.
First off, Albania, good luck. Yeah, like that's a tough draw for you.
They have the longest odds of anybody like in the tournament, I think.
Well, I think because of that reason, right? Yeah. I mean, look at who they have to go through. So obviously Spain, we know they are talented. We know that they have got players all over the field there. Rodri has just had his record, right, in, for Manchester City snapped by your Manchester United, where how many games in a row was where he was on the field?
72.
They hadn't lost a game with him on the field.
50-some or 72, I don't know. A lot. But,
so a new streak could be very well started at this tournament because he is like, if you have a guy like that on your team, everything else seems to click into play if you have that type of talent. Now, granted, he plays with a lot of talented guys at Manchester City, but I don't think it's just coincidence that they're really good and he's just kind of like average. He's also really good.
Pedri, Gavi, too. Like, those guys for Spain depends on their health. I know Barcelona didn't have necessarily the season that they wanted to. And then you kind of get into the old firm, like a Danny Carvajal, right? Like, that guy just listed his sixth Champions League trophy.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
They are good. But at the same time, like, they're also kind of going through this, like, bit of a new current generation.
Well, I don't forget. I can see his face. I just can't remember his name. The dude that hopped in, was it for Barcelona? Am I mistaken? That was, like, 16, 17
years
old.
You mean Lamal?
Yeah.
Your guy.
You mean Lamal, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if he plays in this game, if he gets on the field, because he plays for Spain.
Yeah, he will.
And he will become the youngest player to ever play in a Euro game. Like, that's... So they've got that young talent that's going to be brought in. How do you work that in with the old guard, to your point?
Nico Williams, another guy. Like, I mean, they have a very good young generation coming up. It's just...
Euros are... I find the Euros so interesting because of the fact that they will play so many of these older guys.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in the World Cup, necessarily, you know, that get... Like, the old guys still get to go out there, but they're sometimes they get phased out. You have so many old guys who are also... all-timers that are going to get one last run in this tournament. So I think Spain has a little bit to deal with that, right? But then you look at Croatia, you know.
Old firm.
Luka Modric is 39 years old.
It's going to be
his last. Well, it's his last international. He's still going to play professionally next year. He re-signed with Real Madrid again, which how that keeps happening, let
him live. Last two World Cups, they got to a final. Then they got to a semifinals. Like, they're dynamite in international play.
And Again, he's a leader. I don't expect him to start these matches, but he will be involved in leading that team. So, like, you have that situation. There are other guys who fit this bill, clearly, that we will talk about when we get to, say, Portugal with Cristiano Ronaldo, who's also on the roster, which that's something to keep an eye on. Italy, of course, we know.
Defending champion.
Defending champs that missed the World Cup, like we said. I mean, they are such an up-and-down roster, but talent-wise, I mean... Number one, they've got a bunch of dudes from Inter Milan, go figure, that can play, that are going to be very big pieces for them. Alessandro Bastoni is one of the best center backs in this tournament. Nico Basella, who's kind of running the midfield for them there. Like, they've got guys who can play. So they're not afraid of this stage. I think they're probably a little bit still probably bitter they didn't make it into the World Cup yet again. This is where they can prove themselves and prove that they belong and want to get back again to defend their titles. So
I just don't.
That.
I could see this as a situation where three of these teams qualify.
Oh, I think you're. I think this is one of the groups where I would definitely circle three teams to come out of it. It's just how much damage do they all do to each other to where
could you set yourself back and miss out on that third spot?
Yeah, I don't think that's likely. But I also think you could definitely see a situation where you get a lot of 2-2 type of games.
They will
one
beat up on Albania. I think.
I do think, yes. I do think they will all get three points off of Albania. I agree with you. I think that's got to be also, that's why I said poor Albania, because all these teams in a group like this are going to say, well, we know what we've got to do against Spain or Croatia or Italy. We've got to take points off this other Albania team. We can't let them breathe. We got to find a way. Group C features the other finalists from the last Euros that we had. England, of course, is the headliner in this one.
They're the most interesting team by far.
I agree with you.
You, if not now, when?
Well, yeah, I mean,
when is it
kind
of happen?
Where all these other teams are in there. We've got our young guys and our old guys, like we talked about there.
You're
with Spain.
In it. Like they're in it.
They have their guys in their prime at, you know, tail end and beginning of their primes. We're not talking like 19-year-olds and 39-year-olds. We're talking like you have your 22 to 28 full of just the best.
Yeah.
Like the best of the best, your leadership. Jude Bellingham, we just talked about, you know, like
Harry Kane coming back from Germany after a remarkable year, like
remarkable with no trophies. But,
yeah, but still like scoring loads of goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phil
he's
Foden,
still playing.
Who is playing one of the best players on planet Earth at the minute.
Yeah.
And, Kobe Mainoo, like 19-year-old guy, Manchester United kid. Like, how does he slot into the lineup?
Cole, what's his face from Chelsea?
Cole Palmer.
Cole Palmer's got to be in this, right? I presume. I didn't double check the roster, but I presume he's on there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
be.
It's like, I'm just saying, like, they've got so many guys that And we didn't even touch on half of them.
Yeah.
But, like, that's – so that's going to be a very big story of how well this team can do. They are expected to win this tournament.
Yeah. If, if not now, when are they going to do it? Because that will be the entire storyline leading up to the World Cup.
Absolutely will
be. Years.
You're exactly right. So
they're in it with Denmark, who is a fascinating, like, Denmark always good, too, in, like, these knockout tournaments.
Yes.
Scary situation for Denmark last Euros, right? I mean, that was the Christian Eriksen.
That was the Christian Eriksen year.
And that was terrifying.
That. I mean, I didn't forget about that situation. I forgot that that happened in the Euros.
Yeah.
Came back from literally being dead on the field. Yeah, just incredible story.
Serbia alongside of them, and then Slovenia. Again, you feel bad for Slovenia in this situation. You can have basketball, right? Isn't that where Luka's from? Luka's from Slovenia.
I think you're right.
You guys get basketball on this. And then Serbia as well. Maybe another group where you could see.
I could see Serbia, Denmark.
I could
and
see
England
Serbia,
Denmark, one.
England, like those three teams.
Well, like we said, basically of the six groups, four of them are going to have three teams in. So you got to figure out which two probably won't. You know, I mean, I think Group A is certainly a possibility with Germany and Switzerland. Maybe Hungary, Scotland have a tough time getting out of that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's Scotland that comes out, and I don't know. But that one could be a little bit of a tough group to get three out of. Let's look at Group D, where you have France, who...
Pencil them in.
Well, right. I mean, at least the final four, right? I mean, it seems like every time they find their way.
Even if they look like crap.
Yes.
They'll get there.
They'll get there. The Netherlands, who again, another extraordinarily tough team in every one of these tournaments. Poland is not going to be an easy out, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And Austria, I don't think, is going to be an easy out either.
Like, Austria, harder out than Poland.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Yeah. I'm saying, like, this could be another one where that idea of how does that third place team amass points? Whereas, let's say, in one of these other groups, when you have clearly like three really tough teams, does that third team, are they able to get enough points off the fourth team? This could be one where I think it is tough for, let's say, Austria to get the number of points they
need,
or the Netherlands to get the number of points they need, because I don't think Poland is going to be as easy of a team to play, perhaps, as some of these other fourth best teams that you have. So,
well, especially too, when we mentioned like the next group, like that's the one I'm looking at. Like, I really have no clue.
About the
next qualifier. I mean, you get Belgium, who is in there.
Man, and Belgium is they're underperforming.
They're so underwhelming.
With all their talent, do they ever
come
back?
They're through their golden generation.
Their golden generation. Kevin De Bruyne is talking about going to Saudi Arabia now.
Yeah.
Like you are at the point now where these guys are looking for the retirement stuff, and let's go have another few years.
Aiden Hazard gone.
Yeah. So now it's that next generation has come through, and can they lift them to the point that certainly we think Belgium is a very, I mean, they have shown that they have the talent. You go look at the rosters of all these teams in Europe. They have talent. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Can they ever put it together to get back to what they were, you know, a few years ago?
And that's always been their problem. They could just never.
Was that 2018 World Cup? No.
That would have been the 2018. That would have been the 2018 World Cup.
We missed 28. Well, I was going to say 2014 World Cup was where U.S. played them.
Yeah.
I think with Tim Howard and having that. Where they almost beat them and they couldn't. But
then they got
like
to the quarterfinals against England.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And they beat England?
Could be.
Either they beat England lost to England in the quarterfinals, but like they were.
That was 10 years ago is what I'm saying. That U.S. and then 2018, obviously that World Cup too.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was it. Those were their days. We're well past those days now.
And then they were infighting the last World Cup in Qatar. It was a nasty situation.
It was bad. Yeah. Thankfully, the U.S. national team, no issues like that.
That's why we're a world power now.
That's right. Yeah. Ukraine is in this group, who I would think, if you're looking for a team to root for, it would be hard not to root for Ukraine, just given everything that actual country is going through right now.
Yeah.
The horrible war that Russia is, you know, perpetrating on
them.
They're
banned, by the way. Russia's banned from this competition.
Well, as and rightfully so. I mean, it's no offense to the players, obviously, but that's I actually would very rarely stand up and defend anything FIFA does, but on that one, I say, job well done there.
Agreed.
But Ukraine is in this, and don't sleep on their goalkeeper, who is obviously a Real Madrid guy, Andrei Levin, maybe the best goalie in this tournament. Like, that is a thing that if you have that guy, if you have a shot stopper like that, you can be in a lot of games that just frustrate the other team. You get a counter, and suddenly you score. Not that they're just that. I mean, they have guys. They have the dude from Girona, like one of their star players, is also on this team. Viktor Shiankov, something like that.
Nailed it.
Okay. Yeah. So they like they've got some dudes. So Ukraine is obviously a tough
Sinchenko,
out.
Arsenal guy, yep. Obviously like
yeah, there's they've got yeah, they've got studs. And then you've got Slovakia and Romania.
No clue. I'd just no be clue. 100% I'm with honest you. With you. I got nothing.
I'm with you.
I got but nothing.
That group B, like again, I feel strongly about Belgium and Ukraine being very good. I have no idea what Slovakia is because, like, we've seen them at times pop up in major tournaments, but I can't tell you three guys off their roster, I'll be fair. Romania, same thing. I'm not as familiar with their roster. So let's just put a pin in that one right now and say, don't know. Then you look at Group F, the last group we're going to discuss, Portugal, Turkey, Czechia, and Georgia. You know, Portugal, the story interests me with Cristiano Ronaldo being on the roster, but obviously I would presume
Gonçalo Ramos is going to be the guy. Like,
yeah, I mean, you've got
it's a hell of a super sub for Cristiano to come in, though.
It is, but
if
that,
he can manage that.
But that dynamic is always going to be what's interesting to me. Is
you guys know I just broke the Saudi record for goals. I should be starting.
Yeah, can he handle a bench role where that's where he's best suited? That's exactly. And by the way, it's not that he's not effective. It's not that he's not a talented player. It's that the idea that he's going to be your best option, even though he is Cristiano Ronaldo for 90 minutes in a tournament like this. I would much rather have him for 20, 30 minutes running at tired back legs of the defenders rather than have him trying to do that from day one. However, you obviously have him on the ball on a free kick situation. That is still something that he does very well. So right. How that's managed by Portugal is going to be of interest to me. Obviously, they have much more talent than just him. But, yeah, he should start on the bench. And if he can handle that, then I think they have a very good shot.
Bruno playing really well at the moment.
That's what I was going to say, too. Like
playing pretty damn
well. Well, those two get to reunite from their days in Manchester United, I'm sure.
Yeah, they notoriously get along. Alongside them, Turkey in this group, Arda Güler, who doesn't really get to play for Real Madrid, but watch for him. Like, he will be Turkey's best player. He's pretty awesome. Czech Republic got nothing. And then Georgia, Kvechkvelia, I think is his name. I'm sorry for the Georgians listening that I butchered that. He is also a guy to watch for in this, but I would have to imagine, at least for me, it's going to be Portugal, Turkey, and then again, sorry, Czech Republic and Georgia.
Yeah. You know, I've read a few previews that actually have three getting out of Group A.
Okay.
With Germany, Switzerland, and Hungary.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that that's accurate, but like if we're looking at Group F, let's say Portugal, Turkey get out, Belgium, Ukraine get out. Of Group E, that's
France,
two.
Netherlands. Are you just going through the whole groups now?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Like
France, Netherlands for me in Group D. I don't think you and I have a big qualm about that, right?
Well, what I'm saying is, I feel like Spain, Italy, Croatia, Group B, all three of those are going. I could see Group C, England, Denmark, Serbia, all three of those teams going. I then think it becomes because you have two more groups that you're going to get a third team, and of those groups that we didn't mention. The third team, the Group A, you have Germany, Switzerland, Hungary. Group E, you have Belgium, Ukraine, Slovakia, Romania. Group F, Portugal, Turkey, Czechia, Georgia. Like, I think it's got to be at least two of those three you're not getting a team out of. So let's just, I don't know. Yeah, either way, that's going to be, I'm just saying that probably I'm guessing the last two groups we mentioned are where you're going to have two teams coming out of it. I don't think you're getting three. It could be Group A with Hungary and Scotland and Switzerland. Maybe it's just one of those three. But, yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now. So, overall, who are your favorites?
Too much math.
Yeah. Who are your favorites to get to the final out of this?
I think I'll go final four. And, again, with the seeding in this,
I don't know what the work. It's all going to depend on who gets first or second, all that stuff. But just we're looking at the four best teams.
Here. France. Pencil them in again. Just any semifinal over the next few years. They're incredible. I do think England are really damn good. I think Portugal, just what is Cristiano going to be? And even without him, like they are terrific. I'll go with the hosts. I think it's a bounce back year for Germany. So I go Germany, England, France, and Portugal.
Yeah, I am. I'm with you on at least, man, I'm going to say for sure England. I'm going to say for sure France. Then it becomes tougher for me. Like, Germany is hard to discount.
Host nation.
Being the host nation.
They've been embarrassed the last couple of big tournaments.
Yeah. I feel like I am not I'm not afraid of putting Germany in there. I feel like between Spain and Italy, it's going to be a, like one of those two, I feel like, is going to get there. So I can't.
Italy, great in knockout tournaments when they are there.
Yeah, right. That's the thing is the World Cup problem is them not getting in.
Yeah, right. That's
Once they're
the issue.
In, they seem to flourish in this moment. So you know what? I'm going to put in the defending champs, Italy, and the host country. I'm going to go. So we're just basically disagreeing on Portugal.
Okay.
You had Portugal. I have Italy. Neither of us have Spain.
No.
Which means Spain will win it all.
Yes.
So go ahead and bet on Spain.
Yep. Spain, congratulations.
By the way,
for your Euro championship.
Here are the odds for what it's worth to win it all. Your favorites are England, plus 275, France at plus 350, Germany at plus 500. So, hey,
look at us.
We picked those three.
I didn't even look at these.
And then we both skipped Spain, who's next, 8 to 1. Then you had Portugal, who's also 8 to 1.
All right, so I took the top four favorites.
And I took Italy, 16 to 1.
So you took four out of the top five.
Yeah, pretty much. So four out of the top six. Yeah, so interestingly enough, on the odds, for whatever this is worth, Italy, Netherlands, and Belgium, like, We said the Netherlands are good. I don't think any of us think they're getting to the final.
Yep.
We said Belgium has their issues, and we're not sure, but getting to the final seems rough. Italy, roughly same odds as them. Then it's Croatia, 33 to 1, Denmark, 40 to 1, Switzerland, 50 to 1, Austria, 50 to 1, Turkey, 50 to 1, Serbia, 50 to 1. Bringing up the rear, the bottom five, Romania at 150 to 1, Slovenia, 200 to 1, Albania, 300 to 1, Slovakia, 300 to 1, and rounding us out, Georgia, 500 to 1.
SEC. It just means more.
They got that dog in them.
Stupid. Okay. Stupid.
Yeah, we did mention Ukraine. I should say Ukraine is 100 to 1 to win the Euro. But
do you have a prediction on the final and then who's going to be hoisting the cup here in the middle of July?
If it's of those four teams, I mean, again, not knowing what the matchups would be, I would love to see a France and England matchup.
We got that in the World Cup in the semifinals.
I would take it again. Mm-hmm. And if that were the case, I would think England gets it done. Although, again,
so
France.
It's coming home. You're saying it's coming home.
And then you've got Italy and Germany. I think it's going to be Germany getting it done in front of the. If they get to a Final Four, like, I just feel like England and Germany, and I feel like England.
In Germany, wow.
I feel
bad
like England,
blood between those two countries.
I know, and I feel like England gets it done.
In
like
Germany.
That, yeah, in Germany.
Whoa!
I feel like England and Germany. England is bringing it home. What about you?
I also had England winning this, but I'm not going to fall into the trap, and I'm going to go back to my safe space and what I've done every major tournament over the last 8 years and pick France. I'm just going to pick France.
You know what? It's not.
Brandon,
been a
who was
play.
Your World Cup prediction in 2018? France. Who was your Euro prediction in 2020? France. France. Who was your World Cup prediction in 2022? France.
Yeah.
Who was your Euro prediction for 2024? France.
Well, you know what? Until they get rid of Kylian Mbappe and all these other dudes, maybe. And he's going to be around for a while. Last I checked. So you know what? Not a bad play by you. All right. Enjoy the Euros. Enjoy the soccer. There's obviously plenty to discuss. We will do that all next week. Thanks again for listening to Bone and Beam United.